we're starting a new series called Choose Joy. Everybody, that's the new series, and the reason we wanted to start this series because of the season that we're all about to go in. We're about to go, we've just got it. How many are shocked that today is December 1st? I mean, you looked at the calendar like, what, December 1st? Well, we all know that statistics said December is also the most stressful time of the year. It's the most depressing time of the year. Even though December is when the world stops to remember the gift of Jesus Christ to the world, to remember the greatest gift that came to mankind, yet it is also the most depressing, stressful time of the year. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he was also known as the joy to the world. He was our reason for joy. But yet, because of the world we live in today, we find ourselves a lot of times, a lot of people that we know, finding themselves really sad and depressed in this time of the year. So we're going to talk about how we, as people that have access to the joy of God, can choose joy despite what's happening, what's going on. First of all, let's talk about what is joy. We'd like to know what is joy. And I would like to say, before we talk about what joy is, let's talk about what joy is not. First of all, joy is not a byproduct of a six-figure income. Joy is not a product of living in an upscale neighborhood. Joy is not a product of fame or economic status. Joy doesn't come because somebody has a lot of money or is popular. Joy, ladies and gentlemen, is not happiness. Happiness can be part of joy, but joy is deeper than happiness. You see, happiness speaks to the circumstances in your life. So when I get a promotion, I could be happy. When I get a new job, I could be happy. When my husband comes back home, I could be happy. And all the men said amen. Joy is deeper than happiness, Leslie. Joy is deeper because joy goes beyond your present circumstances. As a matter of fact, joy is independent of any present or future circumstance. So then what is joy? So if joy is not all that, what is joy? You see, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. How would you like to have that inside of you? How would you love to have an assurance inside of you that is so settled that you know that every detail of your life, every detail of your life, God is in control? How would you like to know and to have this quiet confidence that ultimately says everything about me is going to be all right? That's what joy is. And when you have that settled assurance, when you have that ultimate, when you have that settled assurance, that quiet confidence that everything is going to be all right, that is the joy of the Lord, and that's why when you have the joy of the Lord, you are able to give thanks to God in every situation. You always wonder, why would a Christian give thanks to God when things don't look too good? Because of joy. Because they have this confidence inside of them. It's settled that, you know what? It doesn't matter what I see. Everything is going to be all right because I have this joy inside of me. So when we see that, we can conclude that joy is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice you made when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a choice that you have to make every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, joy is not a feeling. It's a choice. So it doesn't matter how you wake up in the morning. Every single day you have a choice to make. Will I walk in the joy that I have, or will I not? See, Paul, one of the greatest men in the New Testament, like really one of the most amazing. If you read about Paul in the Bible, it's like if you get to heaven, one of the people you want to see is Paul. Okay? He's so fascinating in how he walked and how he lived his life. And he's one of my own heroes in the Bible. But we all know that Paul was very unstoppable. He went through so much. Life threw a lot at him. But he was always seemingly triumphant. He was always victorious. No matter what happened, Paul was up. Paul was unstoppable. Paul was full of joy. But what made Paul different? Let's talk a little bit about Paul's suffering. Some of you that have read the Bible, you probably know this. But if you haven't read the Bible, I'll tell you a little bit. You can go read this for yourself. The Bible talks about Jesus was whipped with 39 lashes on his back. Well, the Bible says Paul was hit with the same lashes, but 5 times. So Paul was beat 39 times, but 39 lashes, but 5 times. Imagine that. Paul, a lot of times, found himself shipwrecked. Out in the sea, all night, cold. He was in hunger, he was in thirst. He saw a lot of cold nights and he was sleepless a lot of times. Went without the supplies, the things that everyone needs in his life. He was beat up a lot of times. Paul was stoned, not recreationally, but actually stoned with real stones. But he was unstoppable. What made Paul so different? He was imprisoned so many times and threw in jail. But what made him different? Because he made a choice. What did that choice be? What was the choice that made Paul unstoppable? We'll get to that shortly. But let's read a few verses this morning and read about Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way." Imagine that. We are afflicted in every way, but afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Attention to what he's saying. He's like, I am afflicted in every way. You see, some of us might be here. Maybe you're afflicted, maybe financially, but you got good health. Maybe you're afflicted in your health, but you have a good job. Maybe you're afflicted in your health, but you have a good family. Maybe you're afflicted in your marriage, but you have a house. You're not afflicted in every way. Because even though maybe something about your life is not going right, but there are many other things that are going right. But Paul says, I don't have anything going right. I am afflicted in every way. So when I turn left, I'm afflicted. Right, I'm free. Front of me, I'm back of me, up, everywhere, I'm afflicted. Now think about that. Because you and I have never been in that situation where you are afflicted in every way. But Paul says, I am afflicted in every way, but I'm not crushed. So what makes Paul become that kind of man? I'm afflicted in every way, but I'm not crushed. And then he says, I am perplexed. In other words, I don't have answers for what's going on in my life. I've run out of answers. I can't explain. I've run out of answers. I'm perplexed. I don't have an answer for this. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for that. When I ask, why me? I have no answer. I'm perplexed. I have no idea. He says, I'm perplexed. I have no answers. But he says, I'm not in despair. I'm not driven to despair. Because the automatic response to being perplexed is to go in despair. But Paul says, I am perplexed, but I'm not in despair. We know you're going to run to a lot of people this season, December, that are going to be in despair, wanting to give up, wanting to quit. Maybe you may be tempted to feel the same way. But we're looking at a man in the Bible who says, I have no answers for what's happening in my life. I can't explain. I'm not happy, but I'm not in despair. And then he says in verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Think about that. This man is unstoppable. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 4, he says, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress. He's like, these things I'm going through, I'm a man of God. So, you know how many times, a lot of times people say, well, I'm a child of God, so why is this coming to me? Why is God letting this happen to me? Why is life going the way it's going? I am a child of God. Well, Paul says, I am a man of God. I'm in distress. I'm in trouble. I'm having hardships. I'm going through all this. And then he says, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and anger. So we all agree that Paul didn't have an easy life. We all agree that Paul wasn't walking around with security around him, watching him, keeping him, protecting him. We all agree that Paul didn't have a mansion on the hills of Jerusalem. We all agree that Paul didn't drive around in an expensive chariot. We see that Paul was a man of God, just laid his life down and persecuted, but was unstoppable. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, sorrowful circumstances. My circumstances are sorrowful. They're painful, yet always rejoicing. How is that possible? How is that possible? That's what we're trying to dig into this today. How did Paul have those kind of results? I mean, how would you like to never be subject to your circumstances another day in your life? How would you like to always wake up and no matter what happens to you, you're not down, you're up? No matter what the doctor says, no matter what anybody says, no matter what your boss says, you have this settled confidence that God is in control of every detail of your life. This is where Paul was. He says, my circumstances are sorrowful. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I hope what we're reading can put everything in perspective for you. Because you might be here and you just have some problems going on. You have some struggles going on. But I hope this makes you understand that what you're going through is not compared to what Paul went through. But he's saying, in all this, sorrowful circumstances, yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. Now watch the language. He says, I have this sorrowful circumstances around me, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making others rich. Now notice he didn't say, sorrowful, yet always making others rejoice. But when it comes to poor, it says, I make others rich. Because I can help make you rich, but I can't help you rejoice. Rejoicing is a personal choice. I can have that set of assurance for you that Christ and your life, God has it in control. You make that choice. I can't give you that quiet confidence inside of you that everything's going to be all right. You make that choice. Paul said, I can make people rich. I can teach them how to manage money. I can teach them how to invest. I can help them get a job. I can do all that. But I can't make them rejoice because rejoicing, walking in this joy, is a personal choice. Because it comes from deep inside you. That settled assurance has to be. You can't borrow mine. I can't borrow yours. Gotta have it for yourself. Yeah. And so Paul says, I can make you rich, but I can't rejoice for you. Rejoice for yourself. Isn't this powerful? Look at 2 Corinthians 7:4. He says, great is my confidence in you. Great is my pride in you. I am filled with encouragement. In all our troubles, my joy overflows. In all my troubles, what have you known about others and about ourselves when we have troubles? What do? We despair. We got troubles, we get down. We got troubles, we think about people to help us, right? We got financial troubles, we think of going to lending tree or money tree, right? We got this kind of troubles, we think of the doctor. We have trouble this, we think about everything else. But Paul says, in all my troubles, my joy overflows. My joy overflows. Ladies and gentlemen, I want that for myself. I want that for you. And I'm sure you want that too. How beautiful would life be if no matter what came your way, you're overflowing with joy? This is not meta. This is in the Bible. Paul isn't a liar. He said it. He had it. You can have it. If Paul had it, I can have it. Same God, same God. Same Jesus. Same Holy Spirit. If Paul could have it, we can have it. That's why it's written in the Bible. That's why the Holy Spirit put this in the Bible, to show us a man that walked in it, that we can walk in that too. So we have to make a choice. So Paul now is going to let us into his life. We're going to take a peek into Paul's life to see what made Paul be that kind of man that he overflowed with joy in all hardships and distresses and troubles. Because what brings us down is the bad news. What brings us down is when they tell us your job is over. What brings us down is when your wife says, I'm done. What brings us down is when your money disappears. That's what brings us down. Now I want us to talk about, how about, could it be better if no matter what happened, our joy was overflowing? Yes. Just like Paul. So we need now to take a peek into Paul's life and see what happened to his. And Paul is going to open up his life for us to see what led him to that place. And it's all from the book of Philippians. Now, this series, I'm going to talk about four choices you and I have to make. Out of this study, I found four choices Paul made that made him a man that was the man he was. Why joy was ruling. And today we'll talk about the first choice. And next Sundays we'll talk about the other ones that you would have to make. And if you make these four choices every day in your life, you will always have the results that Paul had, to overflow with joy the rest of your life. Yeah. Now, in the book of Philippians, Paul is going to show us how this happened for him. Now, before we open the book of Philippians, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Philippians. Paul wrote the book of Philippians from the prison. Now, prisons back then didn't have heat, didn't have little beds, didn't have meals. There were prisons, they were dark, it was a dungeon. It was cold, you're in chains, and they threw you down there. There was no prison rights or human rights. That's right. So when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he wrote it from a dungeon, dark and cold. And in the book of Philippians, you find the word joy or rejoice about 27 times in that book. The same book he wrote from prison, in a dungeon, in cold, bruised, maybe with a dead black eye, and maybe with pain all over, yet you find the word joy 27 times. Listen, he didn't write joy 27 times in the book of Philippians because he had a car with heat. He didn't write the book of Philippians because he lived in a house that was comfortable. He didn't write the word joy because he was dining at the finest restaurants. He didn't write the book joy with the book of Philippians because he had enough money in the bank. He didn't write the book of Philippians because he had a good job and a good life. He wrote the book of Philippians from prison, said joy 27 times when he was in the dark, darkest place you could ever be, in a prison with chains around him in a dungeon. Now, if anybody has any moral authority to tell me to rejoice, would be Paul. So the first choice you and I have to make, we're going to find that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. He says, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Always. Again, I say rejoice. Always is always, everybody. Always, when you go to the Greek, to the Hebrew, the lexicon, you go everywhere, always means always. And then he says, let your gentleness appear to all, the Lord is near. So how can one rejoice always? Now, after he says rejoice always, and says your gentleness will appear to all men, in verse 6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he says, rejoice. How? Pray.
Yes.
Rejoice. How? Pray. So the first choice you make to have joy in your life is to pray first. The first joy, the first choice you have to make in your life is to be a person who prays first. Who prays first. Not later, but first. Not after, but first. If you make it a decision in your life that you always pray first, Paul says you'll be able to rejoice. Because this joy he's talking about is a spiritual thing. So he says if you pray first, you'd have joy. The first choice you have to make is to be a person that prays first. You see, prayer should not be our last resort. It should be our first action. See, a lot of people treat prayer like the 911 call. I tried doing it my way. And it didn't work. Now, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know. Oh, I tried doing my way, it didn't work. Oh, pastor, I tried doing my way, it didn't work. Prayer should not be a last resort. It should be our first action. It should be our first priority. It should be our first response. And Paul says, if you make that, that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then he said, pray. Now, some of you say, well, I don't know how to pray. That is a myth, because if you can talk, you can pray. If you can talk, God will take you the way you are. He's not looking for you to have Christian lingo. He's not looking for you to have King James English in your prayer. He's looking for you to want to come to him and just tell him what's on your mind.
Yes.
Listen, there's nothing complicated about prayer. You see, I want to give you a quick story. You know, every morning I made a decision, like, you know, prayer would be my first thing every single day. And I had to get to a place where I had to make that choice. And so every morning so some people kneel when they pray. I can't kneel. And I'm okay with that. I don't think God, you know, God says, you know, pray. There's nothing, rules and all that. But we have a high bed, so there's no way I could kneel. If I tried to kneel, my head would be right, you know. So I can't do it. So I'll lay in the bed, and I always have my phone on this side. And in the morning at 6, I reach over and get my phone. Not to check Facebook, not to check Twitter, but to turn on my worship. Because I have my playlist right on my phone.
Awesome.
And I reach there, but right about the same time every morning, my son comes in from his bedroom and he comes right in my bosom. He comes and lays right there. He's not praying with me, but he has become a habit that every morning he's going to come. Sometimes he comes before I even start. And some of the worship songs that I listen to, he knows them by heart. Because he just comes in and I'll do my worship and I'll do my prayer and I'll read my scriptures and he's there. And I thought to myself, what is he like doing this? He'll get there and just lay my bosom and let's sleep right there. It's like, why does he want this? And I began to think, maybe there's a spiritual component to this that he looks forward to. I never have to call him. I never have to get him out of his bunk bed. He just walks right in and just comes there. But more than important, I'm like, God, thank you for this opportunity because he's watching something. He's catching something. I pray that when he grows up, he will know what it means to go after the presence of God, to start with God every single day of his life. But it brings me great joy because I'm like, okay, he may not be mature, but his spirit is growing up in a way because he's choosing to come in those moments. Praying every single day, ladies and gentlemen, starting your day off. And I'm just saying, it could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of talking to God, 5 minutes of prayer. If you can start off even 15 minutes, but you make it a habit and a choice, like, you know what? I will not step out of this door. I'll not grab a cup of coffee. I'll not walk out of my house. I'll not get into my car until I have prayed. Not legalistically, not because you have to, no, because you want what comes with it. I want to be able to start walking into joy because you don't know what that day is going to unfold. But Paul says, let the joy of the Lord overflow. You see what God said? He said, he didn't say you won't have troubles. Though there are some preachers who tell you if you have faith, you will never have troubles. Just don't listen to them. But he didn't say you won't have troubles or challenges, but he said you will have joy. So our first choice is to always pray. Amen. All right, let's pray as before we get into our discussion this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you today that you help us to be people that will make the choice first to pray. That if we do that, God, we're able to walk in liberty of this joy that we find in your word. That you help us not to be subject to our circumstances. That God will, even when sorrowful situations come, we can be like Paul said, always rejoicing. Because we have this sure confidence that everything is going to be all right. That we have this unwavering confidence that every detail of our life is in your control. Father, we thank you today. And we pray that as we get into these moments of sharing and talking and breaking this down, that you speak to our hearts again. In Jesus' name, amen.